Meditation reflects on Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, especially today, verses 2 and 3. I reread verse 2 to start. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All people well know that we need light. We need light to carry out our activities day to day. We need a good light that we might have a good crop. We need light to drive. We need light in our homes. We need light when we're cooking. You don't just need the heat to cook, but you need to see what you're cooking. And when those things are short, when there's not enough light, you can't read, you can't cook well, you don't even know if you're going to stumble in your room because you don't know if something's in the way or if the chair's there. We have the expression, it was so dark, I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. So we know what it is like to have a great darkness because we do need light, and every person knows that. And when you think of the great extent that we go to have light, think about the preciousness, if you don't have electricity, of candles or of oil lamps. Those things are precious if you don't have electricity. And then if you do have electricity, it's upsetting when the light bulb burns out and you can't get it back. You want that light back on. And in the yard, if the light goes out and you can't light it up at night when you think there's something going on or you just want to check, it bothers you. We need to get that light fixed. We need to get that light fixed. It bothers us. And there's many kind of very fancy light bulbs and flashlights and security lights. It's interesting, just even recently, I think just 2 or 3 days ago, I watched a little news report. Maybe you've noticed one of the features of the electronic vehicle, the Ford F-150, the pickup truck, the all-electric one. They're just starting to come out. And one of the features that you can add on a higher level of the model is backup electric power for your whole house from your F-150, your electric 150. So instead of using a generator to power your house for a couple days, you can use your F-150. And all its batteries. And that, Ford said in the little article, the CEO said, they were surprised. A lot of people are interested in that. Why? Because we like to have light. When there's no power, well, I paid so much for this electric pickup, let it power my house. We go to long lengths to make sure we have light. When this prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, which we read last Wednesday, we realize that as this prophecy is fulfilled and Jesus begins his ministry in the areas of the tribal lands of Zebulun and of Naphtali, that in fact, they didn't have less physical light than the neighboring lands. The sun shine was there as much as anywhere else. They had oil lamps. They had daylight. So what was it talking about? The prophecy is talking about a spiritual darkness, not a physical darkness. The language in our verse 2 that we're thinking about today from Isaiah 9, The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They're actually walking about. So it's not as if they don't have a lamp or sunshine, but they're walking about in a spiritual darkness, not a physical darkness. And this is a great deep darkness that Isaiah is concerned about. He says in that next line, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. If a person is in spiritual darkness, you can see that person, he or she might see the physical light. That's not a mystery, just like all people can see light if their eyesight is normal and working. But what is missing is that they don't know the power behind a light. We know we're not talking about the oil in the oil lamp that burns, or the battery in the little flashlight, or even we're not talking about the nuclear power plant or the coal plant or the gas plant that's producing the electricity to burn our lights, but the power behind light, the real power behind all things. Who's responsible for my life, for my light? That's the darkness. That's the question. You think about it, even the most high-tech situations, any person, whether it's a very technological and high-tech flashlight, or the new F-150 that's all electric, or a nuclear power plant, those people running those things, including us with our situations, we say, and no, I can light the candle. I can turn on the power switch. I know how this nuclear power plant works. I know the particulars of it. But does the person know the light that they need for their life? They can turn the switch on and switch off. But do they know the author of light and life? And so when Jesus comes and speaks and preaches, he says, I am the light of the world. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light that dawns upon the people walking in darkness and have this deep darkness. Jesus said, he is the light of the world. And there's a different sense in that than saying, like, he is the sunshine of the earth. It's not that. There is the sun, and it shines on the earth as it shines in all people. That's there. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me does not walk in darkness. This is the darkness that Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah 9:1. There is a deep darkness of people if they do not know God, even though they might have many lights to turn on. If they don't know God, they don't have light. So following Jesus means the darkness scatters. He brings light. He even calls it the light of life. The light of life. His teaching, his mercy, his grace, his truth brings light and lets us know him and God. So when he began to teach and preach in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, it wasn't like turning on a physical light, but it was his teaching. And it was the knowledge of God that he brought, that brought light. And it is no less true for us. We need his light in our lives. Verse 3 of Isaiah 9 says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. You have multiplied the nation. There is a reference here to a number of promises of God, but certainly to that promise that God made to Abraham when he said to Abraham, if you remember in Genesis chapter 12, God said to Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations. It wasn't just the descendants, the direct descendants of Abraham, that received God's light, but many nations. And so when Jesus proclaimed and taught, when he directed his disciples after he rose from the dead to go make disciples of many nations, this is increasing the nations, that many people would walk in the light. It starts in Zebulun and Naphtali with his ministry. But that was the start, and it would go out further and further. And Isaiah says, there is going to be great joy when many people know God and know his light, know his son, Jesus Christ. There will be great rejoicing. And at the very bottom little phrase I have on the notes, then they will know the Father, and they can talk to him. Jesus said to the Jewish leaders who were questioning and doubting him in our reading from John 8, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus is a light, and he gives spiritual brightness and life. And what did he teach his disciples to pray? Our Father who art in heaven. That is the spiritual light Jesus gives us, to know that we have a heavenly Father who sent his Son, and that this heavenly Father desires us to call on him, to pray to him, that he's taking care of us, that he's protecting us. This is a light Jesus calls us to know. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world. Thank you for sending him to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. We ask you that our lives would continue to be open to his light, that where there is darkness, he may scatter that away. Where there is sin, it may be forgiven. Where there is doubt or fear, there may be confidence and joy in Christ. Heavenly Father, help us to know that in your Son, Jesus Christ, we can come to you and pray to you, and you hear all things. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.